I have taken over the
moment. Yeah, that was very powerful. Can you turn to the person next to you and just give them a great big smile and say, this is the Colgate smile that Jesus gave me this morning. And if you don't know them, tell them your name. If you do know them, show them your teeth. Yeah, joy is such an amazing thing, and it's joy gives us strength. It breaks things. If someone smiles at you, you can't help but smile back at them. It's just what we learn from a child. It's an instinct, I believe, within us. If you smile at a child, doesn't matter how big or small they are, they'll smile at you. Even if they're crying, they will try not to smile. But however, somehow, if you keep that smile on your face long enough, a smile will come. We learned that through a lot of our home kids in Sri Lanka. I just want to say to you, church, thank you so much. I'm not sure if you're aware, but last year you made a donation to our solar project in Sri Lanka. In March, we were able to get that up on our roof and up and running. And we are now seeing the fruit of that because it's saving us from having to give 1 lakh, which is about £500 every month, to the electricity department in Sri Lanka, which we have now found out is corrupted. And most of that money doesn't go to where it should go to. It goes to some MP's pocket. So we're praying more exposure on things like that. But I want to say thank you so much for that, because that is now £500 we can put into the education of children in our school, help us to upgrade things and help us to help more children in our school. For those of you who don't know us very well, we have a school in Wattala. 250-odd kids there. A lot of them are sponsored into the school. Over the past year, we've seen a lot of those kids graduate out of our school, and we've been so happy to see the fruit of what we have produced. It's a Christian school, and those children have come into our school not speaking a word of English after about 2 years speaking too much English, giving us a hard time. But then at the end of it, coming out with qualifications from the UK here, with amazing results, A stars, A's, you know, B's, just incredible results for these kids whose parents don't speak English, you know. And it's been a lot of impartation from us, a lot of our teachers, most of them are Christians, and they see that as their mission field. So they're not really coming there to earn the salary, because it's not great anyways, but they're coming there to input into the lives of these children and to cause them to know God in deeper ways. And so a lot of these kids, they graduated out of our school. We've had 4 of them go to the Philippines, to universities there, studying to be doctors, forensics, just accounting. A lot of them have gone into banking, accounting in Sri Lanka. Some of them who are more creative. We've had one boy, he's gone and he's working at actually one of the hotels that were bombed. He's a carver, and he carves vegetables to make them look beautiful on your plate. And he's also learning to be a florist. So different ways we've been able to help these kids get into places where they're earning probably every 2 months a salary that their parents wouldn't earn in a year. And so that is going to make a huge difference to their homes, to their self-esteem, because a lot of them are from backgrounds where, you know, they wouldn't get opportunities to work in these higher areas. So I want to say thank you, Gateway. You've had a lot to do with us. A lot of you here are sponsoring children into the school or up in the north, so we want to say thank you for that. If you're interested in sponsoring, I did put a few kids there who need sponsorship. You could just see me, or there's a WW address on the bottom. You could just go there to that website and have a look. So, thank you for the cow. That cow is no longer, it's quite a number of years ago, so she's probably in somebody's belly, but we have the fruit of her offspring. So we still have 4 cows there that are providing milk for the children's home, and also providing milk for people that we're connected to in the village. So God has been great. Also, Anne invested and helped us with the school in Wattala. We needed more classrooms, so she helped us get some Convertainers So there's a lot of gateway invested in Sri Lanka in different little ways. Mauricio's been out, Brian's been out. If you ever want to come on a team, you can just, even on that WW address, the Dust Project, there's places there you can volunteer to come on a team. You need to get dirty to come on a team. Very hard work. We need some muscles. A lot of young, muscly guys here. So just to encourage you, if you want to be a part of a mission team to come out, you can contact the Dust Project and they'll find a way to help you come out there. This morning as we were worshiping and praying together, I just felt this scripture come to my heart that said that the first Adam, he was a living being. God breathed in life into him to give him life. And that's us, you know. God created us in our mother's womb, breathed into us, and we have life because he created us with a purpose and plan. But the second Adam, he came as a life-giving spirit. And that life-giving spirit, when we accept Christ, it comes and lives within us. And he breathes his spirit in us, and we are born again. So two times we have been born of the flesh and born of the spirit. And that spirit, when it is stirred up within us, begins to produce life. It's a life-giving spirit. So if the spirit of God is living within us, we should be life producers. Each one of you here are life producers. You, God has breathed his life into you, and he needs you to breathe his life into somebody else. That's why we're here. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here to receive something today, to give away this week, to give away life this week, seeds of life. Look at Voon and her legacy, you know, planting seeds for a garden. Whatever we're going to do in Sri Lanka, we'll let you know. But that's a legacy that she left that, you know, is going to go on forever. And we have to think about, what is the legacy I'm leaving? You know, not just monetary-wise, but what are the seeds I'm planting into my kids, into my church, into my community, you know, wherever I am. So I want to say to you that you are a life-giving spirit. You are a life-giving being. Don't let the enemy tell you anything else or discredit you in any other way, because God wants to use you to bring life and to give life. And in Matthew it says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. All what things? All the abundant things of God's word that he promises to us. But we have to allow those things to be outworked in our life. At the beginning of this year, God spoke to me and said that this will be a year of fruitfulness, but it will also be a year of testing. And God said, I need my church to learn how to be fruitful even in the testing. So I want to say to you, if you've been going through testing, don't take it as a bad thing. Ask God, how can I make this fruitful? What fruit should be coming out of this, you know, all these things I've been faced with over this past year, or that I'm going to have to face? Or pray into it that you don't have to face. But ask God, what is the fruit that needs to come out? Do I need to change? Do I need to do something to bring a change myself, so that I can see the fruit in the midst of all these battles? And to understand, about fruitfulness and testing and how they go together, we have to look at Job, because he's a guy who went through so much testing and yet he came out so fruitful at the other end. And if we turn to the book of Job, chapter 1, what we read, it says that Job, he was a man who was blameless. He was upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He pushed evil away. He was blameless, upright. He feared God and he pushed evil away. And I think that's what God is looking for in his church now. People who are blameless, upright, who fear God, you know, who shun evil away. And he had great, he had seven sons and three daughters. And his possessions were so much. He had so many cows, so many camels, so many donkeys and oxen. And it said that he, in verse 3, it says that he was the greatest of all the people of the East. So, and he was really well known. Each one of his sons, they had their own houses and they would invite their sisters to come to their houses and eat. So they were always having these parties, which says to me that they were rich. If they didn't have to go to work, they were pretty rich. So God had really blessed Job's family. But in verse 5, we discover the reason why there was so much blessing on Job's family, because it says that it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send out and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons or daughters have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So Job regularly did this. Job got up every morning and he went to an altar and he took a lamb or an animal and he sacrificed it. And the shedding of that blood was the shedding of the blood for the forgiveness of sins for his children. He did that on their behalf. He shed that blood every single morning, and it was that shed blood that put a hedge of protection around the children and the household and the possessions of Job. Now, we know that Jesus went to the cross and died for us on the cross, and his blood was shed for us on the cross. And the reason he did that was so that we could go to him in forgiveness. And when we ask the blood of Jesus to cover us and forgiveness, we extend forgiveness and we ask for forgiveness. There is a hedge of protection that comes around us. There's a hedge of protection that comes around our families, a hedge of protection that comes around our possessions. But that was the commitment that Job had to his family. And what we see in that protection, this hedge, we have to think about what actually is that hedge. And Psalm 37, verse 7, it tells us what that hedge is. It says that the angels of the Lord encamp all around those who fear God, and he delivers them. The angels of the Lord encamp around us. When we fear God, when we honor his word, the angels of the Lord encamp around us and deliver us. They deliver us from what the enemy wants to bring against us. And so what we see is that hedge around Job and around his family and possessions were these angels. And so that is a hedge that God says that that same hedge is what he wants to put around our lives. But it's important that we understand the importance of the blood of Jesus and how we pray that blood covering over our lives. In Paris, we have a church there, and Jenny's brother and Akka's brother, Vasanti, we call her Akka, which means older sister. So you can call her Akka because it's easier than Vasanti, I think. Your secrets are Akka. Akka's younger brother, Jenny's young. Yeah, but their younger brother runs our church in Paris, him and his wife. Anoma and Derva. And we have often stayed in their home, but every time their children go from a small age, when they go to school, they would stand at the door and either Anoma or Derva would go and pray for them, and they would pray, Lord, let the blood of Jesus be over them as they go out to school today, give them wisdom. And they would always pray and send them to school. And in those kids, what we have seen is they have just walked a straight line for God. There has been no blips, no turning to the left or the right, just straight for God, a straight road. And I believe it's because they prayed that blood covering over them. And, you know, they prayed God's protection over them. They prayed for God's angels to be with them. And I think that's something really important as Christians that we need to understand. We need to do that over our families, over our kids. And often when we go into houses, because we work a lot with Hindu people, once they get saved and they come into the kingdom and we've been able to bring them to the point of taking the idols out of their house, we will go and pray around their house. And what we do is we take a container with water and salt. And salt is a sign of sanctification. And we go around and we pray for any demonic spirits to be cast out of that home. And then what we do, we take a bottle of grape juice with us as well. And so the next person will be praying behind the sanctification person, the blood of Jesus on the doorposts to protect the blood of Jesus to protect, and the stationing of angels in that house to protect. And in these days, and not just these days, but this is something we need to do, prophetical outworkings of what God showed us in his work to protect our families, you know, from the work of the enemy. Because number one, sometimes you don't know who lived in your house before you. Number two, by, you know, putting up this sign, we're saying to Satan, I know that God is with me. There is power in the blood of Jesus, power in his name and power in his blood. And so we see this in the Bible as well. When the Israelites, were in Egypt, they were slaves there. God told Moses to tell the Israelites, I'm sending an angel of death. If you don't want your people, you know, the firstborn of your people to die, tell them to take the blood of a perfect lamb and hyssop, mix it together and put it on the doorpost. If it's there, the angel of death will pass by. And that's exactly what they did. And no one in Israel, you know, that none of the firstborns died, but all in Egypt, they died. And so the importance of having that covering of the blood of Jesus over our lives is sometimes not made relevant enough to us as God's people. But I would encourage you, pray that over your families. If you're not sure about your house, go around and pray for it. You know, that because we want the holiness of God in our households. We want the protection of God over our possessions, over, you know, over everything that is within the house. So if you've never done that in your house, you know, go and do it. It's not going to harm. You know, and it, you might see a great change in the atmosphere. And if you're bringing people into your home, it could be a huge atmosphere change and a sense of them sensing the presence of God as soon as they walk in. So here's Job, this righteous man, and he's on earth, and you know, him and his family are enjoying the blessings of God. Meanwhile, up in heaven, God is having a conference. And Satan somehow is there. And God is showing off, if you like, about Job. It says that in chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So here God is showing off about Job. You know, this is my son. I hope that God can do the same about us, you know. Can God show off about you? You know, oh, look at Brian. He went to Pakistan, risked his life over there, came back in one piece. Mary's praising the Lord about that. Yeah, but, you know, not that you have to go to Pakistan for God to. But I'm just saying, you know, can God say that about us? You know, can he be saying in heaven, look at my people. Look what they're doing. Look how they're living out their lives for me. Look at the example that they are. But in doing that, he kind of sparks something in Satan, a bit of jealousy, I think. And Satan says to God, you know, well, you've got such a hedge of protection around him. You've got all these angels around him. There's no way we can enter in to tempt him. So God gives Satan somehow permission. God takes the hedge down and he gives Satan permission to touch Job and to tempt him. And if we look at what happened, it's incredible to see. We can see the real importance of the blood of the perfect lamb, the blood of Jesus in our lives. Because it says that in verse 14, that there was a event that took place. The Sabians came and they took away all the oxen and all the donkeys and they killed all the servants of Job. So now all those animals are gone. And then in verse 16, it says that fire came from heaven and all the sheep were destroyed. So now he's got no sheep. Then it says in verse 17, the Chaldeans came and they took away all the camels. So now he's left with absolutely no animals, Job. And then it says in verse 19 that a great wind came and all the kids were in one house having a party and the house came down and they all died. Now, if you look at that series of events, what is the first thing that Satan attacked? It was all the animals. What did Job need the animals for? Sacrifice on the altar. So he's got no animals to sacrifice on the altar for the protection of his children. And so he hasn't been able to go every morning to make that sacrifice. So there's no protection of the blood of the lamb over the children. And so they also get killed. But what is Job's response to that in chapter 1, verse 21? Job says, naked I came from my father's mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I bet most of you know a song. Yeah. And that's where that song comes from. You know, the Lord gave me, he's taken away, but blessed be his name. In his testing, Job was still able to praise God. He was able to look and see, I came into the world with nothing. Okay, I'm taking away nothing, but still I will praise my God. He kept his integrity. And you have to understand the enemy will attack your character. He will attack your integrity. But we have to be careful about what is the fruit of our lips in these situations. How we respond to that. You know, how do we outwork our response to a testing that comes to us? Can we walk through until we see fruitfulness in that? And so the main thing we're going to see here is the power of the blood of the Lamb, and how God is with us in every situation. Again, Job kept his integrity. So again, there's another conference in heaven with Satan and God. And Satan is basically saying to God, okay, all of his possessions and his children, but you haven't allowed me to touch him, his body, as a man. And, you know, to bring upon him a sickness. And in verse 4 and 5, Satan says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And so here what we are seeing is that Satan wants Job to curse God. That is the point that Satan pushes us all into. He wants us to come to the point where we curse God and walk away from him. And so there are testings that come into our lives to push us to those points. And so there was a sickness that came upon Job, and it says there were boils on his skin. And they were so painful to him. And yet he continued to keep his integrity. He continued to not speak out against God. And then what happens? Verse 9, it says, then his wife says to him, do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die. It's a very helpful wife. So, you know, we have to be careful what kind of encouragers we are when people are in a different, difficult situation. Because we have to be encouragers, okay? When people are in a difficult situation, they don't need others to come along and help them to look at the dark side instead of the good side. And one of Job's fears was that he would curse God, or his children would curse God. That was a fear in his heart, that he would speak against God. And I think Satan, he knows our fears. And sometimes he takes hold of our fears and he pushes on those fears because he knows it's the weak link, if you like. And he wants to attack our weak links to push us to the place where we do look at God in a bad way. And so I want to say to you, you need to identify what your weaknesses are and not be speaking them out. You need to speak the opposite, speak those strengths that oppose those weaknesses in your life so that they can become your strengths. And so the enemy does not have any stronghold to touch your life in any way, because we ourselves sometimes open doors. We ourselves sometimes curse ourselves. We ourselves sometimes curse others just by the words that we speak. But we have to remember that we are God's created image. That when we speak against ourselves, that we are actually speaking about what God has created. And so Job, he keeps his integrity in all of these things. Even with his wife, he keeps his integrity. But then he has three amazing friends. So, you know, it's good to have friends. But again, we need friends, you know, who are there for us to strengthen us in the battle. Not to help us go further down in the battle. So one of Job's friends, they come to him and they say to him, look, Job, this is all happening because you've got hidden sin in your life. What is that sin? You need to deal with that sin because this is not going to happen if you don't have sin. And Job's like, you know, I'm just living out my life for God and I don't know. So that's a false accusation and Job is kind of feeling that and he does, you know, kind of retaliate on that. But then his next friend comes along and says to him, Job, you're full of pride. Because of your pride, you have lost all these things. And Job's like, oh, I don't think so. But anyways, and then the next one, he comes along and he accuses Job of being so greedy because he has all this wealth. And yet Job is one of the most humblest guys who's willing to give away so much. And so these three false accusations are brought upon Job. And he defends himself out of these accusations. And the reason these guys brought the accusations to him is because of assumption. They looked and they assumed things about Job without really digging into his character. And so I want to say to you that relationships are so important because they help us to know one another's character, our weak places and our strengths. And that when we are in Christ as a church, we are to encourage one another's strengths and help one another's weaknesses. And we are to help one another to like climb up a ladder, if you like. And sometimes you climb up and you go back. But we are to be behind one another, pushing one another up that ladder to the presence of God, because in his presence there is strength, there is joy, and there is an ability to go further. Because the enemy is always resisting us. So we must be wise that we don't join and be like the friends of Job who accuse others when we see difficult situations. In fact, we need to ask God, God, give me a word of life for this situation. You know, I can see that this is a bad situation, but give me a word of life. Because, you know, we can address issues in one another's lives in two ways. We can address the actual, you know, direct issue, or we can address the issue in a way where we are presenting life in it through the word of God. And there are testings that each one of us here, we go through in our lives. So there are common testings. These are testings that we face every single day. Testings of things like anger, you know, lies, gossip, how we handle people. And these are testings. Each and every day, we will be confronted with things that are going to test these basic fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And these are testings of your lifestyle. God wants to see how you're progressing in changing your lifestyle to be more like him. So you're going to face these things every single day in your life. And then there are seasonal testings. And we see this in Luke chapter 4 with Jesus. When he was in the wilderness, Satan came to him and tested him. He said, you know, if you are God, change this rock into bread. And then when he was on the cross, the people were saying, if you are God, come down off the cross. And you're going to be tested in this way. If you are a Christian, why does God allow this to happen? If you are a Christian, why is this happening in my life? If you are, so your faith is going to be tested, and we need to have answers from the Word of God, not from just ourselves, but answers from the Word of God to present to people for what we believe in. And God's Word says that the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is what we have got to give to people. Your testimony, no one can deny it. Nobody can say it's not true. Nobody can say it didn't happen. Nobody can say it didn't transform you. It's your testimony. It's give away your testimony. So your faith is going to be tested. Your lifestyle is going to be tested. And then in Revelations 3, it says there will come an hour of testing when something kind of major or unexpected is going to happen. Sudden death of someone. I mean, none of us were expecting Voon to be in heaven right now. I'm sure she's rejoicing and partying up there and sorting out everybody in little patches up there. And I'm sure she's met up with a lot of our people from Sri Lanka who she knows who are up there right now. And yeah, they'll be having their own party. But you know, when these unexpected things happen, they test our faith, but they test our faithfulness. Are we going to keep walking in God, you know, faithfully, even though this happened? And so these three tests are always running in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. Test of your lifestyle, test of your faith, test of your faithfulness. And I think if you look back upon your life, you know, or even back upon from January to now, you will be able to see, okay, you know, this is where I've been tested in my lifestyle. This is where I've been tested in my faith. This is where I've been tested in my faithfulness. And when we know that these testings are there, but our God is with us in the testing, isn't that a strength? Isn't that a power? Because God's word says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's there with us. Maybe he will send someone to speak to us in our testing. Maybe we'll hear a song, you know, a godly song on the radio or in our car or somewhere at someone else's house. And the words will just begin to speak to us about what we're going through. Maybe you'll watch a preaching on YouTube or you'll hear something here. And that will encourage, it will speak into your heart about that struggle that you're going through. And so we have to be having our eyes and ears open as well and realizing that is God speaking to me. You know, that is God in that song. That is God ministering to me. So sometimes it doesn't have to be direct one-on-one people. It can be God speaking to us through all different avenues, through our kids sometimes. You know, they say the darndest things, don't they? You know, so kids can sometimes just break in the atmosphere and bring joy where hardness is there. And so these are some of the testings that Job was going through in his season, but he kept his integrity. And we have to ask ourselves, do we keep our integrity in these times of testings? And if we didn't, well, that's why we have the cross. We can go back to the cross and we can say, Lord, forgive me because I didn't keep my integrity in this situation. Forgive me because I hurt someone. And then now I need to go to that person and ask them to forgive me too. And that's where the humbleness comes in being Christians. That's where the ability to not rise up in pride, you know, and stand and say, no, you know, they need to come to me first. I think one of the main things that Jenny and I have in our church is that if there's a confrontational issue and there's no resolution, we are the first people to go and say, look, you know, this happened, but we want to ask your forgiveness. And then these people will be like, no, but it was our fault. And we're like, no, it doesn't matter. And you're not expecting all this time. They weren't thinking about, you know, forgiveness. They weren't thinking about it's, you know, I need to ask for forgiveness or I need to come to us. They were just thinking about, I'm right. You know, this is all wrong. But the moment you go to someone and say, look, you know, we need to be friends still. Just forgive us, you know, for whatever happened. Let's just deal with this, pray together. There is a breaking that happens. You know, there is a change of the atmosphere that happens. There is a reuniting of relationships. And I think when we leave things undealt with, you know, it creates division. And God says to us that it doesn't matter, you know, who's right and who's wrong. There has to be a humbleness within us to go and ask for forgiveness from one another, because that keeps the unity of the body of Christ and helps us, enables us to move forward. And when others come in and see that kind of humbleness, they want to be a part of who you are, because they know that somewhere along the line, they're not going to be rejected. And so many people's issues these days are to do with rejection. Fatherless generation. And so they need us to be maturing in Christ, to be spiritual mothers and fathers. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Okay? Jenny made me do things after 6 weeks of being saved that, you know, I don't think other people would have had to be doing those kind of things. But if you know the Word of God, if you know how to pray, you know, if you got saved yesterday, well, you know something more than the person who's not saved right now. So take whatever you got in God and move ahead with that, because that's the kind of God we have, is a God who gives us boldness and takes what is within us and uses it for the building of His kingdom. In the midst of all this, in chapter 41, I think it is. Yeah, chapter 41. God begins to speak to Job about this situation he's going through. In chapter 38, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." Okay, so God came and He begins to speak to Job. In chapter 41 and verse 1, God begins to reveal to Job who is attacking him. It says, "Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook?" Now, Leviathan is a spirit. It's a spirit with seven heads. It's a spirit that comes from Satan, and it's a spirit that attacks us in many different ways because of the seven heads that it has. And God is beginning to reveal to Job that this is the spirit that is attacking him. In chapter 41 and verse 24, it says that this spirit has a heart as hard as stone. In verse 34, it says that he is king over all the children of pride. And so God is slowly speaking to Job and saying, this spirit that has been attacking you, it's a prideful spirit. Because Satan is angry at Job because God is saying, look at my amazing son. And so Satan's like, that should have been for me. You know, so he's jealous. So Satan is jealous of your connection to God. He's jealous of your relationship to God. So he wants to come against you in that. But if the blood of Jesus is over us, he cannot. If angels of God are around us, he cannot touch us. And that is an important point that we have to understand. Any testing you're going through, okay, you need to make sure the blood of Jesus is around you. So God begins to reveal this Leviathan spirit to Job, and he begins to reveal that it's a spirit of pride, it's a spirit of hardness of the heart. And he's basically saying to Job, I'm so happy that you're not prideful, that you're hard, your heart is not hard. And we have to make sure as God's people that we are not a prideful people, that our hearts are soft to the kingdom of God, soft to one another, soft to God's spirit, soft in every way. And then what does God say to Job? In chapter 42, actually, God begins to speak to Job's friends, and he says to them, I want you to go and take some animals, and I want you to make an offering on behalf of Job. Okay, so they bring their animals and they make an offering on behalf of Job. And as soon as they make that offering, the blood covering comes back over Job. And so then God says to his three friends, and then Job is going to pray for you. Because you accused him of all these things in his life, but now he's going to humbly pray for you, and he's going to humbly bless you and thank you because you were there for him to make this offering. And so there is a connection between how we handle situations and, okay, maybe we've got people accusing us on this hand, you know, but at the end, God brings them to a point where they come to make the offering to allow that blood covering to be over Job. And then God says to Job, now pray for them. So there is a humbleness that's having to come on both sides. The humbleness of his friends to make the offering, saying, okay, okay, God, we'll do it. And then the humbleness of them allowing Job to pray. And then the humbleness of Job saying, okay, I'm willing to pray for these people, even though they accuse me. I'm willing to forgive them. I'm willing, you know, to go the higher way. And I think that in God's kingdom, we always have to look at what is the higher way. What is the higher way? And it's when that offering was made, the blood covering came back over Job's life. The protection of the angels came back around him. And then in the end, in Job 42, it says that Job, the Lord restored, chapter 42, verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And so he got back his possessions. He had children again. And he got his protection back. And all this while, his integrity was protected. And so God is a God who wants to protect and watch over us. But he wants to give us authority against the works of the enemy. And he does that through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to maybe go and pray around your house. If you don't feel comfortable to do that, maybe get some of your house group leaders to come and do that with you. To pray over your children, whether they're living with you now or they're married and gone out, you can still pray the blood of Jesus over your families. Because it's the blood of Jesus that causes that protection to be upon them. And what we see in Job's life is that the latter end of his life was even greater than the beginning. So he went through all that testing and the fruitfulness increased. And so God is saying to us that this year is a year of fruitfulness and testing, but by the end of the year, you're going to see a double increase of fruitfulness in maybe the testing or the battle that you're going through right now. So don't focus on the battle. Focus on the integrity to walk through the battle and ask God to give you that integrity, but also focus on the fruitfulness. How do we come to the fruitfulness? We ask God, okay, God, I'm going through this huge battle right now. You know, what do I do? And as God began to speak to Job, he brought revelation. God will bring revelation to you about what you're going through as you begin to speak to him. Maybe direct revelation or through somebody else. And so God is a God who can reverse the battles we're going through. And I just want to give you four brief guidelines maybe to reverse the attack of the enemy. And so when you feel like you're under attack, there's a few things that we can do to protect ourselves apart from covering ourselves with the blood of Jesus. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 6, it says, guard your mouth. That's what Job had to do. You know, I'm sure he was really wanting to have a go at his friends and his wife. But he really guarded his mouth. Even when he did respond to them, it was a godly response. And so he had to guard himself. And we have to guard ourselves in the battle about how we speak. And we have to realize that actually we are not assigned to all battles. So some battles we shouldn't put our head into in the first place. We're likely to get it chopped off. And that's an unnecessary battle for us. So don't enter into battles that you are not actually officially God assigned to those battles. Does that make sense for you? Because sometimes you can be pulled in different ways and you have to ask yourself, should I really be involved with this? You know, and so you need to ask God for discernment as to what battles you should be involved with and then discernment about what to speak in those battles. Because sometimes people will come and say to you, can you come with me to speak with this person? And it's like, should I or shouldn't I? Maybe I should ask my pastor about this first. You know, because maybe it's not a battle for you to be a part of. So ask for God for discernment in that, and also wisdom about what to speak. There has to be a guarding of the things that we speak. And when we speak to people, it has to be out of, we want to see fruit in this person's life. We don't want to break them any more than what they're broken now. Okay, what they're doing is not actually that godly, but let's focus on where we want to bring them to. You know, rather than focusing on all this, we need this to turn, but let's focus on, okay, you know, where we want to get them to. So guard, we have to guard our mouths. The second thing, we have to pray for those who do wrong things to us. Because if we pray for those people, there will be a change of our heart and a change of their heart. God's word says that, you know, we shouldn't come to the altar with our offerings if we've got unforgiveness in our hearts, if we have an offense with our brother. We shouldn't bring our offerings to God without first sorting out those offenses. And that's really important. You know, if we have an offense with someone, we have to reconcile that. The third thing is that we have to declare the blood of Jesus over situations. And, you know, if you want, take grape juice, pray around things, pray, if it's with your kids, go in their room and pray around their beds, put scriptures under their beds, you know, just to bring a change in the spiritual atmosphere that is there. But declare the blood of Jesus over your kids and over in their rooms. The fourth thing is never stop giving to God. Whether that be your time or your tithing and your offerings, never stop giving to God when you're in a testing and a battle, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to not fulfill the things of God that you know are right to do. And that actually brings even more condemnation to your heart, because you know, okay, this is the right thing to do, but right now I'm offended, so I'm not going to do it. But that attitude shouldn't come to us, you know, when we're going through a testing. In fact, if we give more in that testing, you're going to see a greater fruitfulness come out of that hardness and that testing that you're going through. And these are things that I have seen as Jenny and I have grown in our ministry. These are things that we have learnt, you know, because sometimes in the beginning, you know, we would fight and confront, and then in the end we're like, this is just not worth it. You know, we need to be in relationship with these people if we're going to build the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you in your relationships. They are so important. Don't give up on relationships because of small seeds that the enemy may have planted. You need one another, and all of you need one another in different measures. And, you know, sometimes we give more to others, but that's because of our ability to connect in different ways. So God needs us to be a people who are forgiving. He went to the cross for that purpose, not only so we could ask him for forgiveness of our sins, but so that we could forgive one another and walk in closer relationships with one another. And I just really sense that sometimes, you know, unforgiveness in our lives, it causes bitterness at the end of the day, and it causes unwanted fruit in our lives. The person who we don't forgive, you know, it might not have any effect upon them, but it affects us more, and it affects our inner well-being, it affects our mental state, and it begins to affect our lifestyle as well. So this morning, we're just going to spend a few minutes in the presence of God, just with our eyes closed, and ask God to show us, is there anyone that I need to forgive? You know, is there anyone maybe over this week that I just need to go to and say, you know, let's just forget about this. We just need to be friends. We just need to love one another, and we just need to help one another here. How can we step forward in this? You know, let's agree to pray together over the phone even, or in one another's house, you know, for the next few weeks, so we can build our relationship in the Spirit, in the truth of God. So, Father, we just want to give ourselves to you this morning. We want to thank you for what a great example Job is to us, of forgiveness and of his integrity, keeping his integrity. And Father, I ask that you come by your Holy Spirit now and that you just touch each one of our hearts. Lord, that if we have let a hardness come in our hearts because of past relationship issues, Father, that you soften our hearts towards that now. And Father, if there has been, Lord, any pride within us that doesn't allow us just to go back and ask for forgiveness or just to right the wrongs, Father, we ask that you renew our minds through your word, soften our hearts, and just cause a humble spirit to be within us, Father, to go forward, Lord, to see breakthroughs in our relationships. Father, because we know that in a strength of relationships in this place, there will be a new river of life. So, Father, I ask that you come to each person's life right now, that you breathe new life upon them. Father, that you just breathe your Holy Spirit over each and every person right now. Father, that you breathe that life-giving spirit into them, Father, and that they become life-givers to others. Father, that as they seek you, they will find you, and everything will be added unto them that they have been waiting for, every unanswered prayers, Father. And Lord, we ask right now that you come and cover them by your blood. Father, that you come and that you shed your blood for us. So come and cover each person here by your blood. Put your angels around them, around their homes, around their children, that whatever the enemy has stolen, Father, we declare that the season that they're about to step into will be a season of restoration, a season where children are won back to God, a season, Father, of new relationships, relationships of integrity and maturity. Father, it will be a season of coming out of testing into fruitfulness. Father God, both in character, in possessions, in change, and in the building of this church, Father. So we would just want to thank you because you're a good, good Father, and you want to give us all these good, good gifts. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, if there are people here and you just feel, I need prayer, because I'm struggling with, you know, some of these things. I'm struggling maybe with my integrity. I'm struggling because I'm having issues, you know, where I'm not sure how to sort these out. And sometimes we need God's godly supernatural wisdom. So if you want prayer, Jenny and myself, Aka, Brian, Mary, we're here to pray for you. If you just want God to breathe new life into you, and you just really sense, I just want a breath of new life in my life, then we are here to pray for you for that. Siobhan, I don't know what...